That'd be this one, right? All right. So right here, this is the 10Q report. Swear Incorporated. This is from the SEC website. Took a little minute to dig, but, you know, I got it. They try to hide from me sometimes. So let's give you their website. I'm not their website, their address and their phone number. That's their registered phone number. So right here, this is their financial statements. So if you don't know a lot about the company, this is where you can go here. And you could go down here. Where does it say? Is that legal proceeding risk default? No. I don't know why everybody wants to call my phone at the same time, but here we go. Right here, right, ladies and gentlemen, you have the total current assets. You can look at all the current assets of the company. You can look at their cash from December of last year to now. They have $1.9 million in cash. They have total assets of $7.8 million. Last year, they had $4.5 million. Now they have $7.8 million. I like to see the assets grow. Total current assets means assets that can be liquefied and turned to cash within under 12 months. They have $6.1 million. This is why I paid attention to current assets, because when things get hard, this is where people go to pull their money from. So they went from 3.2 in December to 6.1 in June. I like to see the current assets grow. So now let's go on down here. Their total assets, they have $7.8 million. Now they have their liabilities. Now here go their liabilities. Their current liabilities, they have long-term debt of $1.7 million. $1.7 million long-term debt is not bad when you're sitting on 6.18 cash. So their debt is very controllable. They can take their money out of their account right now and pay off all their long-term debt. I like that. Long-term debt, total liabilities. They have a total liabilities of $5.8 million total liabilities. Then they have a total assets of $7.8 million, So they have a net worth of about $2 million. So the net worth is the total assets versus the total liabilities. They have a net worth of $2 million. Their long-term debt is pretty reasonable, right? So now when I look at this, we're going to keep scrolling down some more. Total shareholders' equity. Total shareholder equity is pretty much the net worth, is which $1.9 million, almost $2 million. So I'm not too bad about that. Their revenue, this is what's important. Now we're going to the income statement. We're going to see the money coming in. All right. Total net revenue, they have. So right here, this is all the revenue that came in. They had $682,000 subscriptions. So right here, you can see most of their money. Revenue, this is where you can see the company make all this money. It made, oh, okay. They got a lot of, making sure I read that right. Okay, so they transactions, transaction-based revenue. Then they have subscriptions. Then they have hardware revenue. Then they have Bitcoin revenue. So their Bitcoin revenue is their largest revenue. That's kind of funny, right? Well, not funny, but it is what it is. That's okay. So they have a large Bitcoin revenue. So right here, their total revenue, all the money that comes in, when you're reading the income statement, this is all the different sources. So you can see how many sources of income the company has. So it has the Bitcoin revenue, it has a hardware revenue, it has a subscription revenue, and it also has a transaction-based revenue, you know? So here you go. Now you have $1.9 million of total net revenue. Now we got to look at, okay, that's all the money that came in. Now you got to pay the bills. Ain't about how much money you got coming in, how much money can they keep? So right here, they have cost of revenue, the transactions. They have to pay hardware. Wow. Look at that. See the Bitcoin cost. So Bitcoin revenue was $875,000, but the Bitcoin cost was $858,000. So it's actually a loss, which is pretty customary across the board when I see that. So the Bitcoin, they don't make any money from. So, all right. Total cost of revenue, 1.3. So they bring in 1.9 million. By the time they pay all their bills, they got 1.3 million. Well, not all their bills, but the cost of doing the business. Like, hey, for prime example, something in a business, this hardware, I make money from this hardware, but to keep this hardware, let's say, okay, let's take my podcast. It costs me $100 a month to keep my podcast up and running. But if I make $300 from my podcast of course, they're going to say, hey, you made $300, but the cost of the revenue was $100. So I profited, my gross profit would be $200. You guys and girls see that? So it's that, hey, oh, I have a podcast, and this podcast is, I'm generating $300 a month from the podcast. But when you go down to the cost of revenue, it may cost me $100 a month to keep everything up and running. So now my gross profit is $200. So right here, the total cost of revenue is 1.3. They brought in the third quarter, in the second quarter, $596,000, right? Now we got to look at the operational expenses. They got the product development, sales and marketing, general administration. You know, you got to pay people, transaction and loan losses, acquired customers assets, total operating expense. See, exactly. So now you're seeing the company first, they got the revenue. The revenue was 1.9 million. Then to keep the doors open to create that revenue, it cost them 1.3 million, only leaving them 596,000. Now they had to pay the people, they got to pay employees, keep the lights on, product development, sales, marketing, all of the good stuff like that. That cost them $619,000. This broke it down to where they're taking in a negative operational loss of $23,000. They did not profit, and they have been losing for a little while now. So operating costs, don't like that, because the company is not making money. It has to cut costs, either has to cut the cost of revenue or something like that, right? 2.23. Interest expense, net. Okay. So then they lost $23 million. Then they had to pay the interest expense. The interest expense tells me how much debt the company has, because you have to pay interest on the debt. So they netted a loss about $11,000. When in parentheses, that means they netted a loss. So the company's lost, made a loss. So they made a net loss of $11,000. Foreign transactions. So when you look at net foreign transaction adjustments, if I make a bunch of yen in Japan, I went over to Japan. I made a bunch of money. I made $1,000 in yen, but I come back to America, and to transition that 1,000 yen into dollars, I may only get $800, right? So that's sometimes, and if the dollar is strong or weak, depending to a foreign currency, that's when you can have transaction adjustments. So the comprehensive loss of, it's a losing company. They've been netting losses of $3,000, right? So making good money, but they're losing money at the same time. So when I see this, I got to ask myself, hey, Kate, okay, company, what are you doing to cut back on these losses? So let's look at this. This is the cash flow statement we're down into now. This is the cash flow, all right? They have a negative net cash flow that's coming in. The cash flow is broke down into operational activity. Then you got investing activity. You can see where the company is investing money. So they brought some property and equipment. No, they brought nothing. No property and equipment. Payments, no. Purchase of marketable debt. Proceeds. Marketable debt securities. They purchased some there. Cash flow proceeds from insurance convertible notes. This is right here, the financing activity. This is how you can see the company is financing. Are they getting more debt? All those other things like that. So they did issue some warrants. I didn't know that. Some warranties. And they did get the PPP. Right here, you can see they got the PPP. They got $447,000 from the payroll protection plan. So they got some PPP money. They got about $500,000 from PPP. Payments for withdrawal from taxes, other financing. They issued some warranties. That's kind of like issuing it's kind of like issuing debt, pretty much like a bond almost. We talked about that before. So now when I see this, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully that's something that's making sense to you guys. Yes, that's true. Yes, Cash App does have an option to buy Bitcoin in stock. The problem with that, with the Bitcoin, was they wasn't making money. They actually losing money from the sale of Bitcoin. Okay, see, well, what's going on? What's up, Prince? This is D'Angelo from IG. Okay, nice. He said, I've been bothering you about the IUS. Oh, yeah, this is OKC, boy. What's going on? No, you fine, man. You cool. I think he's an insurance agent out there in Texas. You know, he was like, hey, Prince, what do you think about these IULs and things like that? No, I love that. You know, I love when people get into my DMs and emails and always hit me up. Prince, what do you think about this? Prince, I think you're wrong on this. And I love to do it because you guys and girls keep me sharp. Y'all keep me sharp. So what's going on? Thank you for tuning in. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is the financial report. This is the 10Q report for Square. So when looking at Square, I got to ask myself the question. Now I have to go back and look at the investor relations and ask the question of, okay, yes, you have the Cash App. More people are using the Cash App. More people, you're making some money from Bitcoin. You're making some money, all these different revenue sources. But what is the plan to cut costs? That's the problem right there with the company. The company is netting a good bit of loss, right? Why are you netting so many losses and continue to lose? Now I got to sit back in here and watch the CEO and see what the CEO has to say. Right? I got to see what the CEO has to say. The CEO, you got to explain to me like, hey, we're looking to cut the costs on Bitcoin, or we're looking to cut the costs on XYZ. We're looking to, so we can, I don't want you operating on a loss, right? For my people out there who don't know what warranties are pretty much, they give you the right to be able to buy stock for a certain price in the future, almost like an option, right? So with the warranties, they give you the option to be able to buy the stock for a certain price in the future, you know, for a certain price. So they say, for prime example, you can buy 100 shares of the Square app for this price. In order to do this, you must give us this much money. So prime example, let's say Square, I can't remember the price it was trading for. Let's say if it's trading for $140. They say, hey, Prince, if you give us $1,000, we'll let you buy a share of Square for $160 within the next 5 years. So granted, if the stock price goes over $160, I make money because I can trade my warranty. I can exercise my warranties to be able to collect money. The downside to that is if the stock goes down to $100, my warranties are pretty worthless. So companies do this as a way to make money. They do this. They also issue bonds. We see companies talk about issuing bonds. We see companies issue bonds. We see companies also issue warranties. This is a financing thing. You can find this up under the financing activities out of cash flow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where you have to go fish, right? Some people sit back and watch CNN Money. They watch Yahoo Finance. They watch CNBC. They wait to be force-fed it, right? Versus you, this is coming from the SEC.gov. We just went through the balance sheet, the income statement, and the cash flow statement to look at this company, and nobody can tell me anything about the company because I know what the company is making and losing, right? Now, I would love to hear other people's opinions, what they think or whatever. I have to understand the business better. Take, for example, I know Uber is losing, but for someone who a casual look of Uber, they may say, oh, this company is losing. That's great. We understand this company is losing. The question is this company, does it have a goal to be profitable? When does it have when is the goal to be profitable? With Uber, I know we just pulled up. They plan on turning around 25% within the next year, right? Now I can watch them. So a person who going, they be like, Uber lost $1 billion and they trade the stock. This is what creates opportunities for investors. So you're wondering, man, why that person buying that? I just saw a bad article, because they probably know something that you don't know. They cracked open a book. They saw how the company looked. Now, when you look at it, I got to ask myself the question. Yes, Square, you're doing some great things. I'm looking at the finances, because just look at the stock price and the finances is two different worlds. Because guess what? A stock price can get away from the finances. I mean, they can go way up and be overvalued. But it's like a rubber band. Eventually, they're going to come back to each other, right? It's like the saying, you get into a relationship with a woman and you know this woman is no good, but she's acting good in front of you now. Yes, you can. Yes, she can fool you for now, but eventually the real her is going to come out. And somebody told me to dress up like a clown and act like a clown for a whole day. I mean, yeah, I can do it for 5 minutes, maybe a day, maybe an hour or so, but eventually they're going to realize, hey, that guy's not a clown, right? Because that's not who I am. So the thing about it is, sometimes you always have to watch finances. And when you're watching finances, look at CrowdStrike. Look at Fortinet. Fortinet is a company that has zero amount of debt, and the stock went down 6% after releasing its earnings. This is where, if you know what you're doing, and you know, if you know what you're doing and you know what companies are, this is when you go in and buy with confidence. You don't have to tune in to watch and see, oh, okay, well, people turn on Fox Business and say, oh, this stock went down 10%. It must be a bad company. I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to sell my shares. I'm going to take my profit. But a person who understands the fundamentals of the company and the business, they're going to be like, oh, great opportunity to buy. And you don't know why they're buying. Then 3, 4, 5 years later, months later, you start seeing this company. Everybody start talking about this company, and you knew it all along. When do you sell a stock? You sell a stock when it stops making sense and stops telling you the stories that you're supposed to be attached to. Right, ladies and gentlemen? So when we look at Square, my question with Square, I think it's trading for $100-something. Let me double check the price on Square. I think it was $140 or something. They're all profitable. They have a high PE ratio, which I'm not really worried about. Now, the second thing I must do, I didn't do it here on this episode, but you now have to go to the competitors. What is PayPal doing? How does PayPal look? How does PayPal fare up against Square, right? So when you look at these particular companies, when I'm looking at Square itself, we just saw they're making good money, but then again, they're losing that same amount of money. Their debt is good. Their debt to income is good. They have enough cash in their accounts to pay off their debt, so debt is not a problem. When companies have a high amount of debt, a high amount of cash, and little debt, they can acquire other things. What's slowing them down is the operations. The operations, they're making money, but they're not keeping the money. It's the CEO. Is there something in their plan to where they're planning on keeping their money? Right? It's the CEO saying that. That would be something I would be looking forward to. I would listen to the web call. Listen to the web call on the finances. I can go back and listen to that. I'm not going to do it on this episode, but I can do that. I can go back into the web call, and I'll be listening. What is the CEO doing about not taking in operational losses? Is there a game plan? Is it, hey, look, yes, we're taking in these losses, but this is what we're planning on doing. This is how we plan on executing it. We're looking to purchase other companies. We're looking to do XYZ. We're looking to do blah, 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 blah. Then I will become a fan of Square. But that's how I look at it. That's my synopsis. With Uber itself, Uber traded down 5% because people are like, oh, it lost $1 billion. That was to be expected. This creates a great opportunity for investors because now I can go in. Uber was like $34 before the earnings came out. Earnings came out, the stock went down to $32. I can put in a call option for Uber, 33 strike, December. Uber called 33 strike December because I know, boom, the whole market went down. The whole market went down. They're looking at, oh, this company's unprofitable, whatnot. That gives me 3 months for the company to go back to where it was, and you're going to make a profit. That's what I mean by people taking earnings to make a profit. You only can do that if you understand and know the company. If you understand and know the company, that's what you would do. All right? Hopefully, y'all got something out of that, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to do a quick recap. We talk about mortgage rates being an all-time low, 30-year mortgage fixed. It averages 3.14. You're talking about people are getting 3% interest rate. Some people are refinancing, getting below 2. But what does this do to the housing prices, right? This is driving housing prices up. So what's going to happen when interest rates start to go up? Now, people are not going to be able to afford certain houses, right? So you have to look at your house, how much is it going to cost, and things like that. So mortgage rates at an all-time low. Great for people who have credit and have income and can go afford a house. But for people who don't have the credit, who don't have the income, and when these housing market interest rates starts to go back up, what's going to happen to the housing market, right? All right. So the other thing we got into, we looked at Uber earnings. You know, we saw Uber. They're looking to, you know, they brought Postmates. They put a delivery service out. They're losing money. They lost even more money because the people are not taking rides anymore, but they made their business and Uber Eats doubled, right? You know, they purchased Postmates and they plan on being profitable by 2021, having profitable quarters of 25% or more. That's when that stock is going to really take a run, all right? We also look at, let's see what we got. Keen Carter here said, thank you. As always, I learned a lot. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. I'm glad I could help you out in any other way, right? So remember, King Carter. Now, let me ask you this question, King Carter. Let me see what you learned today. Where can you go to get the financial reports of companies? 95% of people that buy stocks don't even know what a financial report is. They're waiting on Fox Business. Shout out to Fox Business. They're watching CNBC, and they're just waiting on them to tell them what happened. And I'm going to do that one day, too. I'm going to do an earnings call probably next week. I'm going to look at a company that's doing an earnings call, and I'm going to tag in, and I'm going to display the earnings call. I'm going to show you the earnings call. We're going to listen to it together, right? So ask yourself this question, King Carter. Where can you go to get those earnings reports? We just went over Uber, but then we went over Square. We broke down Square. We pulled up the 10K report. We went straight through their balance sheet, their income statement, and also we went through their, what you call it? She said, LOL, King Carter on the spotlight. Exactly, right? King Carter, you asked that question. I want to see, did you learn it? Where can you go get the SEC reports? So where can you go? Well, they don't give away the answer. Good God about it. But where can you go get the financial reports? I want to see you type it. So the thing about it is the financial reports we just went through, the balance sheet, which tells me the money in the bank, that tells me the assets and the liabilities. We went through the income statement that told me how much money was coming in and going out. Then we also went through the cash flow statements, which can tell me the three pieces of the cash flow statement. You had operations, and you had financing, and you had investing, right? We saw where they was investing their money, what was financing them. We even saw they got the PPP loan. We even saw they got $447,000 in PPP. Square. Nobody had to tell you that because you read the financial reports. All right. Then we talked about how this brings in an opportunity for investors. I looked at Uber Drop. I looked at, I can take advantage of this right here, quick, easy, and fast. Boom. I can go buy a call option with a 3-month call option on Uber because of the earnings call went down, and watch the stock go back up over $33, and you can cash out. I don't know, maybe make 10, 20, 30, 40% in a matter of maybe 30 days. Not a guarantee, not a recommendation. I'm just giving you a synopsis, an idea of how people, or how investors, when they know what they're doing, when they see companies like they've been following Bank of America, and they've seen it go down, they've seen everybody freak out. You don't freak out because you understand the business. So now you invest more when everybody else takes off running, right? All right. He said, I answered before you said it. That's good. That's good. Now you understand. Also, King Carter, if you like to go to Square, go to Investor Relations at Square, stroll all the way down. You know what? Let's do it here. I'm going to do it right here. I'm going to do it right here, King Carter. Since you asked me this and you're doing the work to learn, we're going to do it together. All right. So we're going to go to Google, right? We're going to pull up Google. For the people that are catching the podcast, if you haven't catching the podcast, check it out. We're going to go to Square Investor Relations. I Google Square Investor Relations. We're going to go to Square Investor Relations. Now that we're on Square up on the Investor Relations, we're going to stroll on down here. All their financial stuff is here. Let's see if they got it on here. They got their events. They got people. They got their press releases. Right here, this is what I want you to do, King Carter. When you stroll down, it's going to say sign up for investors, news, and alerts. Sign up for it. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to put it in right here. They say, Prince, what do you want to receive from Square? I want to receive the major press releases, the SEC reports, receive events, investors updates. I want to type in my email address. Prince@children.financialliteracy.org. Submit. All right, they want me to put in a little code here. 268. Hit the submit button. Thank you for signing up for Milliners. Activate your account will be sent to you shortly, right? And they're going to send me an email for me to confirm the alerts. When I get the alerts, anything that go on in the investing world with Square comes directly to my phone. You see it? Or to my email. So then I created. Yep, you're right. Diamonds are created on a great pressure and spotlight. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude today's episode. I hope you guys and girls got something out of it. Definitely appreciate you guys and girls for tuning in. Check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and follow us on Instagram and all of the good stuff like that on YouTube, Facebook. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude today's episode. I want to thank all you guys and girls for tuning in. As y'all already know, my name is Prince Dykes. I'm the Prince of Investing. And until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, peace, be safe. I'm out. And